The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher, Pastor Thomas Bruchet.
Hello, I'm glad I can be in your home again and present to you God's Word. You know, we have at our church a time that we spend all the time, every service, going through the Bible, making sure that we understand it. And when you understand the Bible, you'll understand more than just biblical things, because the Bible is God's plan for the ages. And you'll understand history. You'll understand future things as you begin to study prophecy. And you'll understand what God is accomplishing in the very day in which we live, which is so important. So many people who study their Bible get involved in it and in different details, but they miss exactly what God is accomplishing in the age in which we're living today. And when you understand your Bible, you'll understand what God is doing today, what His purpose in it is today, and what His purpose for you is today. And before I even get into my study, let me tell you that His purpose for you is to trust in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior. And by that very faith, believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place to pay for your sins, God gives you eternal life and you become part of the purpose of God. And God has a purpose for us that involves the heavenlies. And He had a purpose in the past, and He has a purpose in the future for the nation of Israel, the believing remnant of Israel, those of Israel who will eventually put their faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that was sent to them, their Messiah, that He has a purpose for them, and that purpose is on the earth. Now, last time we got together, I tried to show how important the land of Israel is. Today I want to do something that's fairly complicated for a study like this, and yet you need to understand that when God was dealing with the nation of Israel in the past, not only is there a land and a nation that He's involved with, there is a throne that's involved with the nation of Israel in the land. And that goes all the way back to the time of David. And David, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, became the great king. Even in chapter 5 of 2 Samuel, David began to understand that God was establishing His kingdom. God had an interest in the great nation of Israel being reigned by someone like David, who the Bible says is a man after God's own heart. But there is a promise that's given to David here. David desires to build for God a permanent dwelling place in Israel, a temple. And God tells Nathan the prophet, it says in 2 Samuel 7:4, "And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, Shall thou build me a house for to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even unto this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all places wherein I have walked with the children of Israel, spake I a word at any time of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, Why build ye not me a house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to bear rule over my people Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and hath made thee a great name like unto the great men of the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people, Israel, and will plant them, and they shall dwell in the place of their own, and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. There's going to come a permanent time. David wanted to build the Lord a permanent dwelling place. And God says, that's wonderful, David, but I'm going to make Israel a permanent dwelling place in the land that I've chosen for them. But he's going to do something else permanently, and I want you to see this. And it says, and since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. Now this house that God says he's going to make of David is a household. A house that will reign forever. You've heard of the house of Israel? Well, in the house of Israel, in the nation of Israel, is the household of David that God is going to establish forever. He says, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He's going to set up his seed and establish the kingdom. Verse 13 says, and he shall build a house for my name. And Solomon did that, the son of David. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So God has made David a great king and said that surely that his son is going to build that temple where God is going to dwell with the nation of Israel. But he's going to take the son of David and establish the son of David's throne forever. He goes on to say, I will be a father. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. And God tells David there that if his son disobeys God, that God would chasten his son. And God did that to the nation of Israel and to the family of David in the time that Solomon turned away from God. God chastened him. But he says in verse 15, but my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And God took Saul, who was the first king of Israel, and his family will not sit on the throne over Israel. But David's family will sit forever over the throne of David, as the promise of God. They might disobey, they might have to be chastened, but God's mercy will never depart from David's family. In fact, he says in verse 16, and thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Now God established the nation of Israel, established David as their king, established that kingdom, established that throne in Jerusalem, and now told David that no descendant will ever end up, not of David, will end up off the throne. That the throne will be established forever, the kingdom that Israel had is going to be established forever. When you read David's answer to God's promise here, he just in marvel that God would make a promise for such a long period of time. Forever is a long time, isn't it? But God has an interest about establishing a throne, the throne of David, that's in Jerusalem, establishing it forever, because there is the place that God will someday rule over this earth. Now, you know, when you come to the book of Daniel, you come in a time where God had to chasten the seed line of David. The kings turned from God and God judged the nation of Israel. They split into two halves, Israel and Judah, and then finally both halves fell into Gentile powers and Gentiles began to rule over the nation of Israel. Well, that don't sound like the throne of David was established forever. Well, it hasn't been established forever yet. It's going to be in the future, and that's the promise that the prophet Daniel makes in Daniel chapter 2. Nebuchadnezzar is king of Babylon. He took over Israel. He took Daniel out of Judah and carried him into Babylon. And then Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and he dreams about a great image that has a head of gold and arms and breast of silver. He has thighs of brass and legs of iron and feet that are iron and clay. It's interesting in the interpretation, it describes these metals, four different kingdoms are going to come out. It talks about a head of gold, breasts and arms of silver, and then there's going to be thighs of brass, and then legs of iron, but feet are going to be iron and clay. In fact, in the interpretation it says feet and toes are going to be iron and clay. There's four kingdoms, but the fourth kingdom has two parts. It has legs of iron, but it has feet that are iron and clay. And Daniel is told what's going to happen, what this whole image is about. It says in verse 37 of Daniel 2, "Thou, O king, art king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom and power and strength and glory." You know, that's interesting. Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, "God hath made thee a king, given thee a kingdom." And when he called God God, he says, "the God of heaven." Back when David ruled over the earth, you know what David said? David prayed to God, and he says that God is head of heaven and earth. He's God of the heaven and the earth. Why? Because God's reign over this earth has to do with the throne of David and the nation of Israel. Now that the nation of Israel has been taken captive by Gentiles, it's as if God's reign isn't upon the earth yet. It will be in the future when the Gentile powers end, but right now God has given the kingdom over to Gentiles, the kingdoms of the earth, and God is called the God of heaven in this passage. And Daniel goes on to say, "And whithersoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold." So Daniel starts to talk about Gentile powers given into the hands, or the kingdoms of this world, a world empire given into the hands of a Gentile. Nebuchadnezzar was the first. But he says in verse 39, "And after thee," Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold, "but after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass shall bear rule over all the earth." And so Daniel says there's going to be, Nebuchadnezzar's going to be the first, then there's going to be a second empire, then there's going to be a third. Then in verse 40 it says, "And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron. For as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things," it's going to be a world empire, "and breaketh in pieces all things and bruise," it says, "and whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided." So there's going to be a division of this fourth empire after it's established and destroyed everything else. It's going to be partly divided. It's going to be iron and clay. "But thou shalt be in it the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay. And the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so that the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay." Apparently this Roman Empire, which is what you're going to find out this fourth kingdom is, in a future day is going to be put together in an iron and clay mixture, a feet and toes made of iron and clay. You know, on your toes you got 10 of them, or on your feet you got 10 toes. And those 10 toes, you're going to read in Daniel later about 10 nations being the latter days of the fourth empire. So it's like a fifth empire that's going to come in the end days, the latter days, according to Daniel's prophecy. But notice what's going to follow that. It says, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break into pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Oh, that's the promise that was made to David. After the Gentiles rule, and after there's been five Gentile empires, then the God of heaven destroys those empires and sets his own kingdom up here on this earth forever. That's when David's throne will be established. And he says, "For as much as thou sawest the stone was cut out of the mountains without hands, and that it break into pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known unto the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure." Now Daniel identified that the first Gentile world empire was Babylon. In Daniel chapter 8, he identifies that second one, he says in a different vision, but it identifies who the second empire is. He says, "The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia." And that the Media-Persian Empire destroyed the Babylonian Empire and became a world empire after them. Verse 21 of Daniel chapter 8 says, "And the rough goat is the king of Greece, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king." That is the first king of the Grecian Empire, and that's the empire that destroyed the Persian Empire and became the third great Gentile empire that ruled over this earth. And then it talks about in the latter times of their kingdom, or it talks about the fourth kingdom and then the latter time of the fourth kingdom in verses 22 and 23. You know, the Bible tells us that in the days that Jesus Christ was born, it was in the days of Caesar Augustus, and he made a decree that all the world should be taxed. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. You know who the fourth world empire is? It's the Roman Empire, who destroyed the Grecian Empire. And this is amazing that Daniel, way back when Israel first fell, God said what Gentile powers would rule this earth, and that there would be four, but then the fourth one, there'd be a fifth one that would grow out of it in the last days, and it would be divided into 10. And those 10 nations, you can read about them in the book of Revelation chapter 13, where in the end time, there's going to be a beast empire in this world that's going to have 7 kings ruling over 10 nations. And that's yet future to our day. But Daniel learned about all these Gentile powers back in his day. For what reason? Well, it was to show them that after the Gentiles have their time of reigning, the great God of heaven is going to come back, the stone, and Jesus Christ is the rock, my friend. He's going to come back and destroy the Gentile powers and establish his reign upon the earth, because you see, Jesus Christ is the Son of David. He is the fulfillment of what David was promised, that God would establish his throne forever and that his Son would reign upon that throne forever. In chapter 18, Jesus Christ came the first time during the Roman Empire, and they rejected him. They put him on a cross and crucified him. But Jesus Christ then went away. He's back into heaven today, and they're made known in Luke chapter 21, the things that are going to take place in between the time of Christ's first coming and what will take place just before his second coming. In Luke chapter 18 it is. I was right, it is 21. Luke chapter 21, the Lord was rejected, and he begins to tell what's going to take place in the last days. He describes all kinds of judgments that's going to come that match the book of Revelation. And it says, "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee unto the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto." You want to stay out of Jerusalem in the last days, because judgment is going to fall upon them. It says, "For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people," the nation of Israel. And the reason why is because they have rejected Jesus Christ, and in the last days, judgment is going to come. That Revelation chapter 13, if I could just read you, take the time just to read that verse to you. Daniel spoke about it in his day, called him a little horn. Revelation calls him the beast that's going to come in the last days. And since they rejected Jesus Christ, Satan is going to try to find a way that he can reign over Israel in God's place. That's always been Satan's goal. He's going to be cast out of heaven in Revelation chapter 12. And then the Bible says, "Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth." And the reason why is Revelation 13 says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns." That's that 10 nations that's going to come in the last days that we read about in Daniel. "And upon the horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth was the mouth of a lion. And the dragon," that's a term for Satan, "gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon that gave power unto the beast, and worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? And it was given unto him to make war, who was able to make war with him. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. This is a time period, the last 7 years before Jesus Christ comes back. In the middle of those last 7 years, the Antichrist comes, empowered by Satan, and begins to go through a process in which he becomes the head of this last 10-nation confederacy, and he gains power, and he's going to try to be worshipped as God. And then finally, he causes all to receive a mark who don't worship him, or all who will worship him as God, to receive a mark, and if they don't, they should be killed, according to this chapter. Now, when we read this back here, this is the things that Luke is saying in the gospel account of our Lord, what the Lord Jesus Christ taught, that since he was rejected, when you see these things begin to take place in Jerusalem, then get out of there. Don't go in. You don't want to be in Jerusalem because it's going to fall in the hands of this Antichrist. He is the head of the last world Gentile power. And it says in Luke chapter 21, verse 24, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive unto all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Now, Gentile power ends. That's when Daniel said that the stone, Jesus Christ, would come out of heaven, destroy the Gentile powers, and establish his throne on this earth forever. And that's future to our day. And it goes on to say in Luke, "And there shall be signs in heaven and in the moon and in the stars, and the earth shall be in the earth distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth." Going to be great, terrible disasters happening, even cosmic things taking place. "For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man." The title of the Lord Jesus Christ, who God gave him that title as the one who reigns over man. "The Son of Man coming in clouds with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Now this is God's purpose for the nation of Israel, that after they've been controlled by Gentiles for so long, then Jesus Christ is going to come back and destroy the Gentile powers and reign over them. But you know, there's been a long distance of time between the first coming of Jesus Christ when Rome ruled and the second coming when there'll be a 10-nation confederacy ruling the earth. You know, we live in scary days politically. We don't know exactly what's taken place in the political world. Things look like they could be taking shape where the world could unify in 10 different groups. If so, that's the fulfillment. We're seeing the setting up of the fulfillment of those things. But the reason it's been such a long time is we learn in the book of Romans that when God saved the Apostle Paul, he interrupted his dealings with the nations. And it's interesting that Paul writes the book of Romans, and it's the first book written to Gentiles in our Bible. And the book of Romans, can you imagine the Gentile power that was existing in the day of Christ's first coming? The one that's going to be a type of the one that's going to exist before the second coming, that God writes the book of Romans, and instead of talking about destruction, he talks about salvation. The book of Romans is the message of God's salvation to Gentiles. In fact, it opens up where grace and peace is extended. It says, "Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by holy apostles in the scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead, to whom we receive grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his namesake." The Apostle Paul goes out and offers salvation in the very city, the very empire that is one that's going to be destroyed. And Paul explains to us in chapter 11 of Romans what this is all about. He says that Israel stumbled at the stumbling stone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And rather than sending wrath and the judgment and all that that's talked about that's going to come against Jerusalem, that all that's been postponed. Paul says in Romans 11:11, "I say, have they stumbled that they should fall, Israel?" He says, "God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness?" Paul says this is an amazing thing, that here in Israel's rejection, God sent salvation to everybody. And he said, that's an amazing thing, but just think, if their fall is the riches of the Gentiles, what do you think the end will be when God finally saves them and they come to full blessings? He says, for I speak unto you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I might provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Paul says, if the God cast away Israel today so that he can reconcile everybody through the cross of Jesus Christ unto himself. See, we're sinners. We're cut off from God. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed us from our sins. It made the means by which, if we trust in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross in our behalf, we become reconciled to God. And Paul says, if God did this with Israel set aside, just think what God's going to accomplish when he goes back and blesses the nation of Israel. Because, see, God still has to fulfill those promises, doesn't he? There still has to be a 10-nation confederacy in the future, an Antichrist, and then finally Jesus Christ, who's going to come and destroy all of that. And Paul says in verse 25, for brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. We live in a time that was a mystery, not known before, that God was going to save us Gentiles apart from Israel. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceit. Don't think God's always going to do this, because God has a purpose for Israel. But he goes on to say, I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Not the ruling of the Gentiles, but the saving of the Gentiles come in. But when all this is over, it goes on to say, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Jesus Christ will come back and save the nation of Israel in the future, but Paul says, don't miss this, folks, that God is now saving Gentiles. And you can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ if you'll put your faith in him. He's waiting for you to do so.
We hope this program has been an eye-opener to you. We are not out to destroy anyone's faith, but to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 313-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 313-778-5032. This program was presented freely to you in cooperation with this local public cable station. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe.